so many of the songs are new to me, and so I'm surprised and caught by the inspiration of them, and so thankful that you have learned those songs and I can share them, because and I'm so thankful for Rosalind and Joe. They ask early in the week, hey, where are you going? Thankful for a few reasons, because then I have to know where I'm going. And then she chose all these songs, and when you hear the message, you know, it's almost like you don't even need to preach it. And I looked at the title of the last song, and I don't even know the words, and I'm like, well, what a great conclusion. And but what you're here for is what you just sang about, that God will answer your prayer, the hunger of your heart, like newborn babes. I got a newborn babe yesterday, held for like an hour. I took the baby and held the baby, and Justin left to go to Wyalusing, to the post office, because things haven't caught up yet. And he was back, and I was still holding the baby. Yeah, talk about comfortable in my arms, huh? But don't worry, you don't need to be comfortable in my arms, because I'm not here to be the one who holds you, but I am here to be like a husband who is the husband, who bands the family together, the household together. And so my passion and desire is for us to band together and you know, see ourselves as the church that we sang about, and to give us that vision, so when we look in the mirror, we see what God sees, and we go out in a real sense of victory. We want to hear from God, so let's turn to Psalm 66, where we hear directly first, and then I want to share my joy for being here. What time is it? Oh, I even got a little more time. I was wondering, I was like, I wonder if, because it's all about me, Sunday, no, wouldn't that be awful? You know, I was wondering if, I was wondering how much time, I was like, man, I'd like to speak like Paul did when he went to the Ephesians, and he's like, well, this is the last chance to talk to the elders. And so he talked to them, and then he talked on, and then somebody fell out of the window because he used up all the oxygen in the room, and he raised him up, and everybody was much relieved, and he talked on and on some more until the next morning. I'm not going to do that. It comes sometimes easy for me. I was in a Bible study Friday evening, and one of the persons in the Bible study said, I'm a talker. And I'm like, well, we better not introduce ourselves. Psalm 66. Shout for joy, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give him glorious praise. Sing to God. How awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you and sings praises to your name. Think about that. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men. He has turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Think about that. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire. We went through water. Yet you have brought us into a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I'll perform my vows to you. That which my lips have uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble, I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatted animals and smoke of sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Think about that. I can't give you enough. And here's my message. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer, nor removed his steadfast love from me. Let's pray. Father, as we've already sang, that we would have ears to hear, hearts to heed, hands to do your will, feet to go in your direction. Surely, Father, there is people here today like Samuel who did not yet know the voice of the Lord, who hear your word, but it's muffled. They don't quite understand. It's not clear, the meaning. I ask, Father, today that you would, that they would cry out to you, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, that they'd be willing to do whatever you say, and then that you would say something really clear to them, as you have to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to read to you these books. They've been very helpful to me. I'm sure they will be to you, too. Everybody didn't get up and leave. You're pretty good. I am a slow reader. And all these books are sitting like in our living room where they are an eyesore to my lovely wife who puts up with them and sometimes reminds me that you're getting quite a collection there. Can you? And I'm like, could I possibly be really reading all of these now? So today I took three out and put one more back in. But I'm a slow reader. And words are really important. And so, and I love the leaders. But I heard them say that you hired me. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I really didn't want to be a hireling. You know what a hireling is, right? With this hireling shepherd, he flees and so I'm like, but I'm paid staff, and there's meaning in what I'm saying here. When I met with the men, I shared with them that they are the leaders. They are leaders in the church. They are people who you have recognized as mature men with sound wisdom, to have made good decisions in their life. And I am not here I'm not a leader among leaders. I am a leader among leaders. Today, Howard said, well, you know, we really want to integrate, and they want me to be planning the service and stuff, which I have. And I was like, my plan is to put these guys up in front of you every week, because it's not about me and it's not about you, it's about us. And leaders lead together, and then I'm confident that is God's way. Got to get on the right page here. Come in here, all you fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. So I said all that to say this, but you say, well, you're paid. And I'm like, so I'm a paid leader because I need to do this. And these guys don't have time to read all these books, right? So we have we have different roles within leadership, and we're gonna pursue them in the future. But I just wanted to set that stage. So what I'm all about is about us together, okay? Me as a steward, last week I read to you what is that good steward is the one who he has a charge. He's not in charge, he has a charge, and his charge is to give the people who are laboring what they need to get the job done. And they're going to need food to have enough strength to get the job done, and then they're going to need tools. And that's where the scriptures are the answer. We work with the scriptures someplace in the Bible. And I'll probably do this maybe when the Gideons are here. Some of the Bible pictures. The Bible is a hammer. The Bible is a fire. It's not just bread and light, but it's useful for every single thing in our life. And that's what I'm all about. We're going to as a steward, I'm a dispenser. I'm one part of the leadership group. My part is what I want to try to communicate and have us get together on is I'm just kind of like the PR man, public relations. I am the sales side of things where I take their vision, which is our vision, but they know you. And what I want to do is, and then I try to sell you on it. I have the opportunity to do that. And so, in case you ever wonder what I'm doing, now you know up front. I'm going to tell you, you knew it up front. And then I might take part in design or building or implementing and planning. But it's not my plan that we're going to be following, and that's real important. About us together is I'll be as a steward, as a dispenser, and I'm the herald. Anybody listen to Jungle Jam? Oh, you're such a boring people. I never miss it. And in one of the Jungle Jam episodes, and they repeat them over and over, so even I remember them. In one of the Jungle Jam episodes, Racket the Skunk discovers that he's what? Royalty. And so then he gets a herald. And so that whatever he says gets proclaimed to all the people. And he makes rules and regulations, and all the people must follow him. But he has a herald, and the herald is necessary, but he can be annoying, huh? Even annoying Racket. Well, I'm a herald, so I'm going to be up here to shout out what the king has said. That's the picture of the way that I am. So I'm sorry, I digress. We shout out, and what I'm going to be shouting out to you, and we've been singing about it together, what I'm going to be shouting out to you for quite a while is who we are, and I'm going to say it until we believe it. And I'm going to repeat it. At the end of the service today, we're going to say what Melissa and I said at the end of our wedding vows together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's what our life has been about, and sometimes we don't think about it. And for a while, right after Justin got married, we got up every day for like a month and said to each other, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together, because I gave the charge to Justin. And I thought, well, if I charge him to do that, I ought to do it. And I told him he was just in time. And so we are going to see ourselves, the church, with the analogies in the Bible, the way God sees it. We're going to see the pastor with the analogies in the Bible, the portraits of the pastor, the way God sees it. So what are we going to see? Not them separate, but together. In the yoke, pulling together so that until we believe it, until we're in step with it, in time with it, and it starts to show all around us. Because that's the kind of thing that the world needs to see. So I'm going to hold up the mirror of God's word. James chapter 1 says God's word is a mirror, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, we beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image of the Lord. So in the one mirror, we see ourselves and we go, ugh! No, you should go, no. James said he saw himself and goes, and walked away, unchanged. The other mirror, we see the glory of the Lord and we look on him until we become like him, until we see in his image, and that's reflected clearer and clearer in us. So we're going to hold up the mirror of God's word and believe it until we see the same thing as God sees. We look in the mirror and we don't go, oh! But we go, glory. And, oh, that's a reach, huh? By now you're starting to think, well, this guy thinks he's a miracle man. Well, I think the word of God does miracles is what I think. And I am totally dependent on the sufficiency of God's word. Esther 4:14 says, for such a time as this, And everybody knows that phrase, right? Does everybody know the phrase before that? She said, if I go in before him, I might die. And her uncle, who loves her, invested his life in her, says, maybe you're raised up for such a time as this. But know this, if you don't respond, somebody will, because God's purpose is to raise up this nation. God's purpose is to have his glory known in all of the earth, to extend his glory into all the earth. And so we can shout his goodness as a result. And so Esther responded by saying, pray for me and fast for me for such a time as this. There's a song, for such a time as this. And it goes, now. All we really have is now. To be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness. Right now, I really have no choice but to be a voice to the nations, a generation seeking for God. For such a time as this, I was placed in the earth. And I want to give you my story. That is my story, and that is your story. And we come together here today so it becomes our story. Come and hear, all you fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. He has done, and my response is to join him, to get in step with him. So my dream for you and for us is together with him, that just becomes what we think about when we think about going to church. Together with him, we think about an army of God marching in step with the Spirit. You heard the story about the color guard, right? And the mom goes to see the parade at graduation, and they all come out marching before the people to graduate. And then her son is out of step. And the mom goes, look, everybody is out. Everybody else is out of step. Well, it's, you know, like the elephant in the room, the only one who doesn't know. And what we are about when we come to church is getting in step, right? You know, so sometimes we'll get our toes stepped on, if you will. Or if we're out of step, like I was so many times in the military and in my life, that the drill sergeant stops the whole platoon and brings you out front and demonstrates. Not a pleasant feeling. But if we're out of step, if you're out of step, what do you want? You don't know what you want. Huh? What you want is you want me to call you out on that. You don't want me to do it in front of everybody. But you want to be in step, right, with the Spirit? In step with God's word, in step with what God is doing, and that's what we want. So I had 2 points, and now I only have one because I already used up too much time. I was thinking of calling these of hangers or hooks, which we could hooks that we could hang our thoughts on, and the first hook is how we got here, and the second one is where we go from here, because we're not where we want to be, right? Well, I mean, I'm where I want to be in a sense, but in the bigger picture, I don't want to be like this. I want to be what? More like Jesus. And so that's what we're going about. So how we got here? Here you go. You ready for this? You came along and scooped me up just in time. Not a play on my son's name. Just in time for me to have the dubious distinction of 3 churches in 1 year. I've been in 3 churches in 1 year. Thanks. Dubious, in case you didn't understand. Dubious is a questionable, hesitating, doubting. Now you're like, whoa, and you said those guys were leaders, that they were mature, able to make wise choices? And now you're telling us that's what we got? So how we got here, of course, includes how I got this way. Anybody familiar with Patrick McManus? He has a book named How I Got This Way. And I'm going to read you just a teeny bit of it. A few years ago, my friend and I were in a pickup camper waiting for a storm to pass. Dave sprawled out on the cab cover while I prepared lunch. The conversation turned to hospitals, possibly because I was preparing lunch. I remarked that I hadn't been hospitalized since I was 5 years old. "How come you're hospitalized then?" Dave asked, careful to conceal behind his yawn his fascination with intriguing lure of my family. "Oh, I fell out of a bus and landed on my head," I explained. He laughed and laughed so hard that he almost fell out of bed and landed on his head. Eventually, he said, I didn't think breaking my head was that funny," I said, still puzzled by Dave's seemingly outburst. "Oh, it isn't, he chuckled, mopping up the tears on his shirt sleeve. "It just explains so much." There you go. How we got here. And I already mentioned that I read and listen to a lot of books, and I'm a slow reader, and that's why I'm paid. Because it takes me a lot of time to prepare for this. So how I got this way. Here's a story. This is a story about Shirley and I. Melissa's like, "Oh, I've never heard it and don't want to hear it." This is a story about Shirley and I. I'm Justin's dad. Melissa could tell this part of the story. Justin was memorizing Psalms 23 when he was in Awana, and he didn't like the idea of being followed around by Shirley and Mercy. You know, those girls. Well, this is a story about Shirley and I. And maybe you'll see yourself in my story, but we'll definitely see God's work, what I read to you in Psalm 66, opening and closing doors in my life. And my hope is that that'll touch your heart and give you confidence. How I got this way. Surely, I know, right? Surely I know, right? Well, not so much. This is a story about Shirley that leaves me not so self-assured. I was sure that God was calling me to higher ground. Yet I should write a song. You know them, right? Lift me up to higher ground. Surely God was calling me to higher ground. And I was sure that I wanted to train for his service. Surely I was to be a pastor. Therefore, I went to school for 4 years, which I graduated with honor. So surely there'll be churches lined up to receive me. We joined a church and served in children's church where we were at. And later, a church in the Catskill Mountains called us. You know where the Catskill Mountains are? What's there? Rip Van Winkle. Yeah. I think I fell asleep. But 6 years later, totally spent, maybe burnt out, and what I imagined seemed to be over. Surely, if by faith I closed one door, a door would open. Open sesame. Faith and surely. And surely a church, and by that time I was candidating at a church in Katanning. And sure, and they just really seemed to like us, and we loved them. And I was like, and where it was, I was just had all these big visions. And so surely they would recognize me. And surely I was wrong. What followed next was a wilderness experience. To put it lightly, but a wilderness experience, and I hope we're still smiling about this when you've discovered the man and stuff. But the wilderness experience—that wilderness experience—is what brought us to OBC to this point. One of my dreams has always been to, you know, to pastor OBC. But Melissa's like, wow, surprise. OBC, in my mind, I thought that maybe I would start a church and it would be the church of the open Bible, the open Bible church. I just love that idea. You know, it's that open Bible. This is what church is. The church is an open Bible, and people coming there like the cows to the trough, and all just coming and just are pigs to the trough, they just taking it, gobbling it up. But anyway, OBC, you're good enough. I'll settle for OBC. So what I want to share is the intersection. How we intersected without colliding, I guess. Another McManus story, points of conversion or geometry, how we meet. And so surely this is a story with lines and voice recognition and being able to recognize open doors. And so that's what I want to quickly give to you the rest. To come out in the right place when you're in the wilderness is important. One time when I was a kid, I was hunting, and there was alleged to be turkeys in this section of the woods, and my dad and I were up on the top of this hill. I was 14. Forgive my dad. He's not a lawbreaker by nature, but he just didn't read law. So we were hunting together, and he's like, "We'll just split up here, and I'll walk this way, and you'll walk this way. Get those turkeys between us." And the only turkey in the woods was the one who was running through the woods. Dad! Lost. It's real important that when you're in the wilderness, coming out in the right place is a big deal. I was supposed to come out at the car. It was real easy. I ran into my uncle and my cousin, and they're like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm going to the car." And they're like, "You're going the wrong way." You know, it was a big woods, you know, and they're like, "It's this way." And then they're, "Oh, I probably shouldn't repeat what they said. And you might as well follow us. You know, we aren't going to see any turkeys now anyway." We found the turkey. Yeah, that was a joke. Good one. So to come out at the right place and the right time requires that we have our bearings straight. This always sends my mind to going, in the Christian church, what does it mean to have our bearings straight? When we come together and we're pulling together, what will we be doing? Well, we'll be bearing our own cross, amen? We'll be bearing the yoke. It's good for a man that he bears the yoke in his youth, it says in Lamentations chapter 3. We'll be bearing with one another. We'll be bearing one another's burdens. That's kind of easier than bearing with one another, right? And we'll be bearing witness in all this to Jesus Christ. So having our bearing straight is so important. Well, surely God was doing that, and I told you I'm in the wilderness. 20 years later. Now, 20 years later is like a little, what do they call those things, that when you're watching a movie, and you're watching a movie and then it has a little flash across the bottom of the screen says 20 minutes later, or 20 years later. and you know, you got up and you went out to get a drink because you can hear it all anyway, and you come back in and you're confused throughout the rest of the movie, and you keep talking to the person beside you. No one's ever done that but me. Oh, it's a bummer. You ought to watch a movie with me. I do it all the time. 20 minutes, you know, I'm like, how can I get up and walk out when a little subscript comes across the bottom? It changes the whole plot. Well, the little subscript was there. 20 years later, now you know, at Braintree Baptist Church where we were, Dino Padron, the president of what used to be, when I was there, Practical Bible Training School, was there convincing us, the church, as the need to train ministers. And, of course, for us to give money to the ministry there to train ministers because, and as he put it, he explained how many churches there were compared to how many pastors there were. And there was more churches and there was fewer pastors. And he was, and so I heard that. And a few months later, GETP, where I was working, did, I love the word, unprecedented. And they made an unprecedented announcement. They were offering an hourly package. And they offer a salary packages all the time. But hourly package to as an incentive to get rid of the old folks. Yeah, I was one of the group. There was a confidential envelope laying at my workspace the next day. Big words stamped on it, confidential. Does that get attention? Where I worked was in quality, and it was air conditioned. It was supposed to be a really great place to work, but they were all women that worked there, and I never worked with all women before, and they always came to work before I did. They were there and they were chatting. And I come walking in and they're all chatting around my workstation. They don't usually do that. And then I come in and they scattered. And I'm like, and I see this envelope, confidential, and I stick it in my pocket. And they're all like, huh? And they're, what's that? I said, I picked it up. It's confidential. Yeah. Well, anyway. It was an unprecedented announcement. I got a confidential envelope at my desk. And what happened was, it was like Moses in the burning bush. That confidential envelope was an eye-opener. It was like, wake up, Steve. Huh? What? The voice of God. I'm listening. But I do need hearing aids, by the way. I was listening, and I was like listening for God. It was like Dino Padron, one time, unprecedented offer. Maybe God is opening the door. We read about opening the Red Sea. Maybe God is going to open my mouth. The psalmist said in Psalm 51, when he had sinned against God and he had lost his testimony, and then at the end he gives his prayer and he said, open my lips that I might praise you once again. His heart, he finally opened his heart. You don't want people to open their mouth that haven't opened their heart, by the way. But he had finally opened his heart that he had guarded and kept closed for all this time. And he says, "And he says, let me teach others that there's forgiveness with you. That they can be useful again. And that it's not up to them. The resources, it's God. If it was up to me to feed you, I would be like Moses in Numbers chapter 11. You said I was a favorite to God, he says this. And he goes, if you're going to treat me like this, kill me. How am I supposed to feed however many people are here? And especially most of you, half the time if I meet you and talk to you, you will hide from me the thing that will indicate the food you need the most. What shall I do? Well, that's God's problem. And God does it. And he'll do it, I'm sure. Or else I would not be here. The men, when they interviewed me, you're going to be wondering about these guys. When they interviewed me, the first thing I told them was, I have no confidence in myself. Paul said, I'm not in bad company with that. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul said, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, he said, we are the circumcision, we worship God in spirit and have no confidence in ourselves. Peter said, I've got great confidence. God, I'm ready, to Jesus. Jesus told him his finals were coming up, and Jesus told him, you're going to fail. Well, that's really exciting, huh? Here's the final, and I already know the outcome. You're going to fail. Now, Peter, he had lots of confidence. He said, I'll never fail. And when he failed, when Jesus met him later, he said, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. After asking three times if he loved him until Peter was grieved. Surely, I thought I did. I was sure, surely you know. And Jesus did know. And he said, back to what he prayed for Peter that day, when you're converted, you will strengthen the brethren. You'll strengthen the people who come together. You will stop feeling like you can strengthen them, that you can make a message that will lift them all up, and you will be my vessel. Nothing but a vessel. So I think I hear in the voice of God. I'm listening, but like I said, I'm hard on hearing, especially when I'm experiencing selective hearing. There's a lot of wife jokes out there about selective hearing. You're supposed to laugh. But For me, selective hearing happens when I'm a conditional hearer. That is a warning that closed ears and guarded hearts become closed doors. God opens doors to people who are open to whatever God says, even if they don't feel comfortable, even if they're not ready. One of the books, let me give you an example. You will love this. In the Bible, when God calls someone to do something, no one responds by saying, I'm ready. Well, I just gave you an example of one who did, Peter, and anybody who knows about that don't want to do it anymore. Moses, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. Gideon, how can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest. Abraham, will a son be born to a man who's 100 years old? Jeremiah, ah, sovereign Lord God, I am too young. Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. Esther, rich young ruler. Ruth, Saul, too inarticulate, too weak, too old, too young, too sinful, too dangerous, too rich, too poor, too much baggage. No one ever says, okay, Lord, I feel ready. And so here we are. We're all together, and we aren't ready, but we're getting ready. And God is all the while, we don't just sit here. God is moving us to manifest his self, to open doors. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, and I had highlighted this so I could make sure you read it. But it says in Revelation 3, 8 to the church at Philadelphia, I know you guys. And he says, what does he know about? He knows me. You like that idea? He knows me. I know you're weak. I don't have much to offer. But I have put before you an open door. Oh, God only opens doors when we have open ears to hear his will and hearts that we're going to do it, no matter what it is. Not because we feel ready, but because it's the only way you can keep up with him, right? The only way you can be in step with God. So now I'm awake and I'm listening, sort of. Here we go. Surely, therefore, I announced to Melissa, see my vision, hear my call. Not so fast, cowboy. She wasn't afraid of following God wherever God leads. She is not afraid of poverty or death. We both come pretty close a few times. But she was afraid that here's a man wants to step up as a leader who is not really in step, fully sold out to God and fully proven it in a relationship with her. And so she didn't know how to say that, and so she stumbled around until I finally got it, because I was interested. And I didn't get it real fast, obviously. And then when I first got it, guess how I felt? Well, I'm so thankful that you've been honest with me, and I can't take this offer. Always love it when you can't take an offer, unprecedented offer, right? No, I didn't feel that way. And I was like, I wanted to just say something. But I shut up. That was a good thing. And I prayed to God. And delay, detour, I missed the exit. Death to my vision. Oh, well, what do I do? You know what I've said every Sunday since I come here? Not the brightest crayon, but what? Available. As I make myself available to God, and now I'm like, I have to work on dependable, being ready. So a few weeks later, a friend asked me if I'd like to ride my bike up to Bath, New York with him for the Family Life Spring Share-a-thon event. And I said, sure. It's a long ride. And when I got there, I got a prize. 14 Secrets of a Better Marriage. Actually, you could pick almost any book that, my little card I picked out. And I picked this one because what? the hindrance to me being in step with the Spirit was that I wasn't in step with the Spirit in my home. 14 Secrets to a Better Marriage. Well, I started reading it. Didn't tell Melissa I bought it, right? She probably saw it. But and I just started doing some of the things. And then I overheard a conversation one day. It was like, I think I got it. I don't know who this man is. Who is this man? You know, and then it was like, whoever she's talking to, she goes, no, for the better. They're like, boy, you didn't think they would get better after 55, right? 55, and this is 55 and three, you know, 60. So surely, and then not so fast, delay, detour, miss the exit, death to my vision. But listen, here's a discovery. Write this down. Discovery. God is not in a hurry, and God is not discouraged. You know, it isn't like, oh, and now it'll never happen. That's not God. I hope you can get that. So back to the movie subscript. 2 years later, in case you walked out, there's another unprecedented offer. How about that? The unprecedented offer. Never again. Buy now. Here it is 2 years later. Now I'm 2 years maturer. See, you thought I was going to say older, huh? 2 years maturer. And the offer is made. In the meantime, I had picked up that work that Melissa was with me. And so we pray. But we're a little conditional on that. And you get so much time to accept. And I missed the exit. Again, the deadline. And death to the vision again. Now I'm beginning to say, surely, I don't think I know what the voice of God is. Surely, I can't know for sure. Wouldn't it be awful to end the message like this? But wait, there's more. On a mission trip with Justin Time, I got a text that said, they are making the offer again. You have 4 weeks to accept or reject. And some weeks prior, I was reading this book, All the Places You Will Go, How Will You Know, a play off who? Poor fellow, Dr. Seuss. All the Places You Will Know, how will you know? Let me give you a sampling. Abraham and Sarah, today is the day, so get your dad, Terah, and get on your way. You will wander like nomads, and even, I think, maybe, you may have a non-genarian baby. You'll be marked by your faith. You'll be marked by a vision. You'll be marked by, you might love this, circumcision. Like stars in the skies, your descendants will be, though they will tell lies indiscriminately. You'll get lost and confused and be badly afraid. You will wait till quite late and mistakes will be made. You won't know what to say. You won't know what to do. But all peoples on earth will get a blessing through you. With your muddled up faith, you'll do more than you know. And promise you this, oh, the places you will go. How will you know? I was reading that book. And I was reading it on my phone, and I was waiting for a blend to be made at GTP. And I read a section in there, and I realized it was God. The voice the first time was God. The voice the second time was God. But God didn't say, go. This is the praise. Surely I just missed it. God didn't say, go. He said, on your mark, the first time. What's the next line? Get set. The first time, you just need to get up on the box that you're gonna be in the race. Get set, focus on what you're gonna do, and then he did it the third time. But what I did that day, I prayed. I was reading, and I said, "That was your voice. If you do it again, unprecedented, never again offer, I'll go." And when I got that text, I wanted to jump in a hole. I made a vow to God. I said I would go, and I was terrified. And so, here we are. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to walk on water. I'm going to step into the unknown with you. And open sesame. Didn't even happen that way. But it did happen. And Alden's a part of that story. And I had the opportunity. It's why I've been in three churches, and I have the dubious distinction that I spoke about at the beginning. So I'm terrified. What if the churches don't get the memo? They didn't. But I leaped. A leap of faith. And with Melissa's hand in mine and us in his hand, we leaped like a Narnia adventure. And here we are. Through the door, the wardrobe, here you are. And we're together for him, for his purpose, for now. My time is always, my days are always numbered, right? Here we are. And so we've started. Next book, Radical Together. One of your men came to church when I was asked, I was there, I didn't want to preach because I wouldn't be prepared, and he shared from Radical, and I read that, and so, and now, and then I got this, Radical Together, and so here we are, Radical Together. That's where we want to go. And surely we do not know the details, and we do not need to know to do, right? We do not need to know details to do God's will. We need to know, we need to do what God says and let him do the details. So we do it together so that everything you want to be, everything you want to do is right in front of you. Look around. It's you. The people of God, the church, the precious thing of, in God's eyes of all things, one another, everything you want to do, everything you want to be. Psalms 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." We're going to sing the last hymn, and we're going to say that verse every week after church for a while, so you will know it as well as I do. Let's do the last hymn.